if you're working with a traditional publisher, right, which is not a good idea, and I'll talk about more of that in a moment, right? But if you're working with a traditional publisher who's going to take usually about 90% of your royalties, where most people will make about a buck, maybe a teeny bit more on their book, you have to sell almost 100,000 books to make $100,000, right? And think of the time, the money, the energy, the effort, and then is somebody going to read it? Is somebody going to take action, right? There's so many other factors in the mix. So for me, I say, how many books do you have to sell to make $100,000? For me, the answer is zero.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of my good buddy. You know her, you love her, if you heard her voice multiple times before in the intros, Kim O'Neill. It's right indeed, because we were on a panel together, I believe. My goodness, I think it was, shoot, 4 months ago, and I forgot what the theme was, but my man was showing up and showing out indeed, because my man knows how to rock the mic. My man leads with heart indeed. He knows all about helping folks to advance to the business of immortality, because today's wonderful international best-selling bookcaster, you're there right, folks, bookcaster, because not only he's put pen to paper, but he's also a fellow podcast host, as well as a fellow, or should I say, another wonderful internet radio show host, speaker, coach, story consultant, and the president of Influence with the Heart. com. So let's give it up for Mr. B to the G, because he is better than good. Ben Joya, how you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing super well, Dom. Thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you.
Woohoo! That's right, Dave. Glad the pleasure's virtual, my friend. That's right, Dave. Influence with the Heart. That's right, Dave. That's right, Dave. But hey, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 72 years long, and I probably only covered, I don't know, 72 seconds. So am I filling in any cavities I may have missed on how you became the Ben that you are today?
Yeah, thank you very much. So I have the honor and pleasure to help people with their books, and, you know, books that help position them as experts in their space, help them tell their stories, and help them first and foremost to attract clients and strategic partners even before they're published. Like, a lot of people make this mistake with their books. They think, I got to publish the book to make use of it. And it's like, no, start leveraging your book as it's being written, even when it's still an idea. And that's what I did. I had the experience of being asked to speak at Stanford University several years ago. And I said yes, and, you know, signed the contract. And this was a big deal in my business, because I had been struggling before this came up. Right. So they said, you want to come speak? I said, yes. We signed the contract. We figured everything out. And I made a promise to them. Right. I said, hey, I'm going to show up with copies of my brand new book, autographed copies of my brand new book, for everyone in your audience, plus your staff, like 130 free books. And the event planner was super happy. She said, that's so generous. Thank you so much. I said, you're welcome. We hung up the phone and I went, oh, crap. I have to write that book right now. Ha! Yeah, and it gets better, because from the promise to the event where I had to show up with the books, I only had 6.5 weeks to get it done.
Wow.
Yeah. Exactly,
Wow.
exactly. So I wrote it in three, produced it in three, showed up with books, and turned out really well. The event company went really well. They hired me for more speaking. The audience really loved my stuff. They brought me to Sydney, Australia next year, the following year to come speak at their headquarters. So that was super cool. And then right at that time, somebody saw the cover of my book up on LinkedIn. And again, the book wasn't finished, but I got the cover done, right? I put it up on LinkedIn. I'm like, look at me, I'm writing this book, look at me. And this other company reached out and they're like, hey, we're creating a mindfulness and empathy video game with a Fortune 100 company in MIT. It's going to be played by 20,000 people. Do you want to write the curriculum? And I went, of course, I want to write the curriculum. And those two circumstances, those two outcomes, right, those two ways that I leveraged the book, that was the basis for what I have turned into my own business, which is called Influence with a Heart, as you said, Dom.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Days I'm talking about indeed. And that's freaking amazing too. It's like it, because I've heard that a couple times after talking with so many different authors, especially entrepreneurial authors who have the business first and then they publish the book to boost their business. And it's just amazing how that can really work. And that's really sometimes what we really need, is put a fire under our own butts for once and really get ourselves going and producing. Because saying, hey, what if I'm what was it at 500 attendees for that first conference?
Yeah, I think about 130.
Yeah, that's something. That's almost quite a miracle, to be honest too. Because it's like, dude, you gotta print the books and you gotta be able to have them on you.
Exactly. Print them, ship them, autograph them, and show up on time.
So it's like, oh God, dang. If the printer's busted, they take too long.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I got expedited everything on that project. It's like, just bring them, bring them, bring them.
The beautiful thing about it is, this was even before AI.
Right? Yep. Yeah. No, I had done something smart as far as getting the book done. I had written a book already, you know, so this book that I wrote in about 3 weeks, it was my second book, but I had written a book already called Marketing with a Heart. You know, about 2 or 3, maybe actually 4 years before that. So when this chance came up to do the second book, I was like, oh my God, how do I do this? And I was like, wait a minute. And I took my book file, my first book file, and I duplicated it, right? And I deleted out most of the stuff. I kept a couple of things because they were still relevant. And I said, okay, like I know, like here's the layout, here's where everything needs to go. Right, I just need to get stuff now into the spaces, right? So it wasn't like, you know, having to figure out the logistics and all of that kind of, you know, extra psychic and psychological energy. It was just like, okay, find stuff that will fit in this spot. So I wrote some stuff, I dictated some stuff, I grabbed some blog posts that I had already written, you know, I double-checked my themes, you know, I mean, I did some work, of course, but I tried to make it as easy as I possibly could. And I definitely operated from the space of imperfection. Right? It was a little bit messy when I first got it printed, don't get me wrong.
Oh, I can imagine indeed, because because what I just think about that story, it's like, oh yeah, that's freaking amazing. But it's like, once you, for those who've been through the process, and especially if you have like a quite a few books being printed, it's like, oh crap. Hope these come out good, they don't jack them up.
Right. This was actually this whole situation, I should say, was fortunate because all I did was I printed just enough books for that event, right? And just took care of that. And then after we got the event sorted, then I did, you know, more detailed editing, and I took a few more months to do the editing, and then I actually launched the book the beginning of the following year. So I want to make a distinction here, and this is something, you know, if you listener, you viewer are thinking about your book or thinking about your next book, really important to think about this. The date, there's the date that you release the book, right? You get it up for sale. a big mistake that most people make is that they do their book launch right when they release the book, right? So they get the book up for sale and they're like, okay, now my book launch is happening right now. And for me, I say do it completely differently. And this is something I teach my clients, right? And this is why, you know, my clients are able to get five-figure speaking gigs and six-figure consulting, is because I have them release the book first, and then I have them do the book launch something like 2 or 3 or 4 or 6 months after the release, right? Because they can use the book that they've released that's available to develop relationships. They can send autographed hard copy versions to their ideal clients, right? They can get a bunch of people on their launch team. They can create content, right? They can get together their whole bestseller launch plan and do that in this magical gap between the release and the launch, because you try to do it all at once and it's like you're missing an opportunity. And I don't know about you, but when I got my book done, I was exhausted. Right? I needed a nap. I needed like 5 naps a day.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you so much. I understand what you mean. My second book, it was just like that. I was like, I was so happy. I was about to launch it. It was about to be released until my friend called me out. I was like, hey, so what's your plan for marketing this thing, buddy? It's like, oh crap, I forgot I have to market this darn thing. I thought I was done finally after these 2 years. It was supposed to be done a year ago. It's not over yet, though. No.
Yeah, it's not. It's such an interesting thing. And Dom, I appreciate you saying that. It's because, like, you know, getting the book done and getting it released, you know, is a huge accomplishment, right? But you've not gotten to the top of the mountain. Like, you've gotten to a plateau, right? And it's like, okay, take a breath, and then now the next phase of the journey begins, and it's really a marathon, not a sprint, with our books.
Heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. And you're so right, too, because I forgot to mention this probably before I pressed the record button, but my man Ben is doing some great work. Because one of our past guests, Anne-Marie Schroeder, was actually a guest on the show, and she was actually one of your clients. So, yeah, my man's the real deal.
Yeah, I didn't realize Anne-Marie was on your show. Yeah, Anne-Marie did something real cool. She wrote her book with me, and she did an amazing book. She does consulting around diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? And somebody at Google found her book and invited her to speak and paid her to speak, right? She didn't even know the person, and they found her book and invited her in. So, you know, if you're watching right now, if you're listening right now, all things are possible, right? And books are so powerful because of the relationships they can help you cultivate, which turn into all sorts of opportunities, speaking, clients, workshops, right? You know, the book sales most of the time are not how we make the biggest impact. It's not how we make our income, right? I'm not saying that book sales aren't important, and, you know, book sales are lovely. I would love more people to buy my books. And I give my authors, often my clients, a math quiz, right? And I'm going to give you the math quiz right now. So how many books do you think you have to sell to make $100,000?
Oh, God. And that, there's a lot that goes into that, too, because it depends on the size of the book, how much it costs to print the book. But if it's, shoot, if I make $3 per book, that's a lot. I've got a, you know what, I do have a calculator. It'll take all day for that one.
Yeah. Well, let me give you the quick and dirty answer, the good quick and dirty answer, right? So if you're working with a traditional publisher, right, which is not a good idea, and I'll talk about more of that in a moment, right? But if you're working with a traditional publisher who's going to take usually about 90% of your royalties, where most people will make about $1, maybe a teeny bit more on their book, you have to sell almost 100,000 books to make $100,000, right? And think of the time, the money, the energy, the effort. And then, is somebody going to read it? Is somebody going to take action? right? There's so many other factors in the mix. So for me, I say, how many books do you have to sell to make $100,000? For me, the answer is zero. Because if you get your book done and get it into the hands of 1 to 10 to 20 to 50 people who can hire you, consult with you, right, have you come speak, you can get to that $100,000 much faster, much more easily, literally by just sharing your book with people and developing relationships with them. I like that math.
Yeah, so true indeed, so true indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed, those six figures folks looking for. That's right indeed. No, he didn't even have to slip anything. He had to put in some work, but you had to slip anything.
Exactly. Yeah, it makes life a lot easier.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, since you have so much experience in this field, especially with methods like those, like my goodness, like what's your writing process looking like these days now with AI involved? Like, do you use AI with your writing to assist you to keep you, I guess, on the cutting edge in a way, as some would say, or you're like, nah, forget that darn AI. I'm gonna use old school brain. My brain's the best computer, the original computer.
Yeah, the OG computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thank you for asking. That's a really important question. I actually use both. And, you know, for listeners, viewers, AI is a great tool to support your book process, right? AI is not the tool that writes your book, right? It's not that, you know, some people don't use AI to write their book. Some people do, that's fine. But if you want to write a book that's in your voice, that's aligned with who you are, you know, that's going to serve your best people because you know who your people are, you want to write the book, or you want to at least, you know, get the draft in place, and then think about using AI, you know, to help you flesh out some pieces, right? Or to help you do some research or to do some brainstorming, right? But the core of your book still needs to come from you. And what I like to do with folks to help folks write their books faster, you know, even without AI, my process, you can have a first draft done in as little as 5 weeks, because I do a couple things, right? One is I make use of, and I recommend that people use dictation for their book, right? It doesn't mean they have to dictate the whole book, right? But Dom, I don't know if you know this, when you dictate, and if you speak like I speak, right, you can have 1,200 words in like 7 minutes, right? 1,200 of your own words in your authentic voice in 7 minutes. 1,200 words is like 5% of a 25,000 word book. It's like, aha, right? So that's something that, you know, can help you get to the goal real fast. Another thing that I do with my authors is I give them an outline for the book from the beginning. I give them a if you want to call it a scaffolding or an architecture, right? It's just basically, you know, put the right stuff in the right places, right? Because I say to my authors, I don't want you trying to figure out the logistics of a book, right? I want you to focus on your content. I want you to focus on your reader. I want you to focus on the transformation that you're helping them achieve. And then I want you to put that content in the right places so it's going to serve the reader in the best way. You know, and like I said before, somewhere in there, right, use AI to support the work that you've done, right, to help clean up your writing, to help you brainstorm, right? But do not lose the humanity of your voice or of your book to an unintelligent machine or to an unintelligent, you know, computer coding process, right? AI is amazing, but it does not think. You are the thinker, and you are the person with the heart.
Yes, right indeed. My man Ben's jewelry store magic, because he's bringing the gems today. Oh, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. You got to serve your reader the best way possible and make sure you don't lose the humanity of your voice indeed, because it's sure folks can tell now if it's AI these days, because it's like something is starting to repeat themselves, and it's like, hey, your tone completely changed here, buddy. It's like,
tone, word choice, right? I've seen AI rework some of my writing because I wanted to test it for myself, and I was like, wow, I would never say that. I would never use that word. I would never use that phrase. And people who know me, you know, who know my talks, who know my podcasts, right, who know my books would be like, no, Ben, absolutely not. So yeah, be really careful with the tools.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, is this the real Ben Joy? Or is it Ben Evil? Is this the evil twin version of Ben?
Better watch out for that guy.
That's right, indeed. I heard he's got secret sugar cookies to buy off random folks who have too many questions and to draw them to the dark side.
Watch out.
So my goodness, man, so influence with the heart. So what inspired the name of that, I guess, basically your business and your company, my man, because that's freaking news, because a lot of folks will be like, man, like influence with the heart. Like, what the heck does that even mean? Does that even go together with business?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So let me answer this kind of out of order. So influence with the heart totally goes with business, right? The most successful businesses are the ones that keep humanity in the mix, right? Straight business works better with heart, right? Everything works better with heart. Like, don't ever forget that. And then my own experience is that, you know, I always wanted to help people as much as I could through the work that I was doing. And I had an 8-year magazine career back in the day when I used to live in New York. Right, Modern Bride, Condé Nast Traveler. I actually helped launch the AARP magazine, the membership magazine. And, you know, that magazine, for example, you know, AARP is a nonprofit, right? It does help people. And, you know, I wanted to be more in direct service. Like, I really wanted to feel it. So I went and started working with a nonprofit, the ALS Association, right? Lou Gehrig's disease. And now, that was powerful work, but I still wanted to do something that really, you know, was mine. Like, I wanted to make my thing. And somewhere in the middle of that whole adventure, I went to India. Right? I went to India 2 times. And the first time I was there for 2 months, and I was on a hike. And within 72 hours, I almost died, or at least faced death like 4 times. My bus almost going off a cliff. Then I was running from a wildfire, and then I was encountering a poisonous snake, right? And then I was encountering a mountain lion.
Oh my!
So,
goodness.
Yeah. So I was very happy to have survived that first and foremost. And I came back, and I was like, okay, now I really want to help people, right? Because I, you know, just like galvanized my purpose. So, thinking of how to do that, right? And then I went back to India a couple years later, because somewhere in the middle of all of that too, I hit rock bottom after having done a whole bunch of drugs for about 15 years, right? So I used to party, 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 right? All sorts of white things, white powders, white pills. and it's a little tricky because I had really good jobs, right? So I was like, oh, there's no problem here. Right. It's just Friday night, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, that catches up to you sooner or later. So when I hit rock bottom, I went back to India. I don't know why, but it just, you know, something said, go back to India. And I was on another hike. There's a theme here. I was on another hike and I did not have good hiking boots when I showed up to India on the second time, you know, and because I was all on drugs, right? So I didn't think about the boots. I show up, I can't get new boots because nobody in, you know, the northern part of India has a size 13 American shoe, right? I'm a big dude. So I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? So I go to a cobbler, I ask him to fix it. He fixes it. But the fixing makes for two little lumps in my shoes that make two really big blisters on my Achilles tendons for the right at the beginning of a 9-day hike. Right? So I'm hiking through the Himalayas 6 to 8 hours a day. Every other day, we're going from 12,000 feet to 16,000 feet. Every other day, doing that. Every single step, right, is ow, ow, ow. And not only does it hurt in my feet, but I'm so pissed off at myself. I'm so angry and I'm so judgmental of myself. How could you be such an idiot? Why did you do that? You're so stupid, right? All of that, just adding all of this suffering on top of this pain. And then I get to day six of this hike, right? And I'm looking up at the mountains because we're at 12,000 feet, but there's still 28,000 foot peaks because it's the Himalayas. And I'm like, wow, everything's so beautiful. Why is everything so beautiful? I'm not on drugs. Why is everything so beautiful? And all of a sudden I went, oh my God, for the last 6 days, because of every single painful step, I have been forced to be in the present moment for the first time in my life. And I went, oh, this is what they're talking about of why the present moment is so powerful and so transformative. Right? So that was the first realization. And then the second realization from that hike came 12 years later, because sometimes it takes a little while. And I realized the difference between pain and suffering. Right? Like pain is something that's part of our lives, it's part of our experience, physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. It's part of being human. Suffering is optional, right? Suffering is all that crap we add on to it, the worry, anxiety, the fear, the judgment, the shame, the da 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 da. And I realized that, people don't have to suffer, right? Like that's what the Buddha taught, right? There's a way out of suffering. And I figured out that for myself. I started meditating. And then a bunch of years later, when I started doing the book stuff, I realized people don't have to suffer with their books either. And so I teach them how to separate that pain and suffering in the book writing process.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. I didn't even know it was two separate trips because I remember the four brushes with death. Heard about that. I was gonna ask you about that, but I didn't know that the hiking with the jacked up boots was a separate case. So my man didn't get enough the first time. He had to go back and get another hit of that good old near-death experience of pain.
I'm a little bit stubborn, if you can't tell.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Man, that's freaking huge. So glad you're still here. Glad you made it out of all that, because I probably would have been pissed. I'd been like, yeah, I don't think I'm coming back here after the first time. Like, a mountain lion, a freaking snake. Like, nah, I think I'm good, fam. Nope. Nope. People are probably cool, but nope. Nope. Not doing it again. But speaking of people, since my man coaches so many great folks to get onto the other side of the business of immortality, what would you consider your biggest lesson learned from one of your clients that has made you a better entrepreneur?
Wow, that's a great question. Thank you. There are certainly lessons from every one of my clients. I mean, I learn from my clients every time I interact with them. And sometimes when I don't interact with them, I learn things as well. And what I've realized, and thank you, Dom, I really, really appreciate this because nobody's asked me this question. They've asked things around this. So, high five, did virtual high five. what I've realized is that writing a book, AKA sharing your message, right, telling your story, taking a stand, it stirs the pot. Right? It brings up a lot of stuff. And for different people, it brings up different things. And you may have experienced this, or you might be holding back on your book because of that. Or you're like, because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I get it. Right? And what I've come to understand is that discomfort, whatever that is, the shame, the fear, the doubt, it's not personal. right? Even though it feels personal, like it's like, I don't feel comfortable in my body or whatever that is. It's not personal, right? You know, you didn't ask for that to come up, but there it is, right? So I say to people, you know, you can do two things right now, right? You can totally get involved with what's coming up and try to push it away and try to fight against it and be like, I don't like it, right? And that's just going to lead to more suffering, right? Or what I teach my clients is instead smile. Literally smile, relax your head, relax your face, smile and breathe, and try not to get involved and try to just let that thing be over here. You know, whether it's a feeling, a thought, a story, you know, anger, doubt, you know, whatever that is. Because I've seen this come up so many different ways, you know, manifest in so many different ways. And it comes down to the same thing, right? It's just that, you know, there's this impersonal stuff that, you know, maybe we know why it comes up. Maybe we don't know why it comes up. It doesn't matter. We didn't ask for it. It's not ours. So let's not get involved with it. Instead, let's just write the freaking book. people need what you got. People are waiting for you right now. That's what I try to remind people. It's so important to write your book or to do your podcast or to do a TV talk show or create that presentation or whatever it is. Take the shot. Right? I used to be a hospice volunteer many years ago. You know, sit with people who are dying. Right? And the worst thing is to have regrets. And I've seen some people who had some significant regrets at the end of their lives. And we don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it till tomorrow. I mean, I think I will. But there's no guarantee. Right, Dom, I think you'll make it to tomorrow. There's no guarantee. Right. So now is the time to live, and now is the time to take our shot. And especially, you know, in this world, in this day and age where things are crazy, let me say, you know, to say the least, things are going off in all sorts of not good ways. Right. Like, we need you. I need you. We all need you to take your shot and share your message and bring your voice and tell your story and, you know, be the leader who you are, even if you're just leading one person, right? Because the world needs leaders now more than ever.
Amen to that, Dave, is so true indeed. That's right indeed. And smile forward indeed. That's right indeed. Good old smile forward. That's right indeed. You could even see yourself as a taco for no reason. Tacos or smiles.
Next one.
So my goodness, it's such a bit of so many interviews on both sides of the microphone. Is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
That's another great question. Dom, you're full of them. This is great. I wish more people would ask me to help them understand how simple it is to write a book, right? It's not always easy, right? I'm not saying that, but really how simple it is to write a book. People have all these assumptions of what it means to try to write and writer's block and, you know, what do we do about publishing and all these, you know, all these things, right? And if people just ask me, you know, Ben, really, how easy is it? Or pardon me, how simple is it? Right? I would tell them it's so simple. Like, it's really, really straightforward. You know, and then the trick is not quite the right word. The magic tool that I use, right, is I teach my authors, because these are nonfiction business books, right? Positioning somebody as an expert, helping them share their message, tell their story. I tell my authors, right, the first thing you do before you start writing the book, and even if you've already started writing, you got to do this right away at the beginning anyway, is to have conversations with your ideal clients about the book you're writing as you're writing it. Right? You know that expression, you know, the horse's mouth, right? Get it from the horse's mouth. Like, if you want to know what book to write, what to talk about, what stories to share, if you want to guarantee that your book is going to work, Right? Talk to your ideal clients, find out what their dreams and goals and challenges and all that stuff are, right? And then write a book that supports them and supports that. And then you know that you've written a great book that's going to be relevant to people, to the people that you serve, right? Because your book is it can be one of the first steps for them to start developing a relationship with you, you know, to start knowing and liking and trusting you, to see you as an authority, right? All those psychological factors of influence, according to Robert Cialdini, right? Really, really important stuff. And imagine getting your physical book into the hands of the people you serve, right? It's not like getting lost on their phone. It's not getting lost on their laptop. It's like sitting on their desk or it's in their bag, right? Even if they don't read it, you are still present. Even if they just look at a little bit of it, you are still present, right? And that beginning part of, you know, getting it from the horse's mouth is really a game changer for books, and not enough people do that.
Heck yeah, indeed, heck yeah, indeed. It's almost like Santa Claus. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Only thing is, he won't come down your chimney and he doesn't talk. It's the magical book.
Right.
It'll go places where you can't go.
Yep. For real.
Yes, indeed. It's true. It's true indeed. Well, since you're fellow podcast host, always got to ask the obligatory podcast question. So, what would you consider your three major lessons learned from starting and running your magical podcast? Because if I'm not mistaken, you got your own and the internet radio show, right?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So I the first one I did was with a partner. Someone had asked me to do a season of her show. Right. And that's when that scared the heck out of me because it was something new. I was like, I've never done this before. And then, you know, she had a really good method to do it. Her name is Donna Kundi from the IBGR network. Big shout out to Donna. And, you know, I saw how easy it was, how simple. Let me say it like that. Right. There are a couple of hard parts. So one thing I learned was that, you know, really important to have a plan. You know, to have a roadmap or an outline or whatever you want to call it, right? Like, don't just talk extemporaneously because that doesn't work, right? Most of us are not capable of doing that, you know, effectively and consistently over dozens of episodes, right? So have a roadmap, and to make sure that the roadmap takes the listener through a journey, right? Like that they start, you know, at point A, so to speak, right? And that you help them progress along a path to achieve a certain outcome, right? You know, not everybody does this in their podcast. I get that, but I've found that to be, you know, really important and effective because, you know, I help people with books, right? For example, and it's all about the journey, you know, for getting the book done and also for people telling their stories, offering transformation, that kind of thing. And I think the third is that if you create a podcast that supports the people that you serve, right, that's aligned with your business, right, because you've gotten an understanding of your people and you deliver great content that helps, you know, helps your listener, that by the time you've completed that podcast or that season of that podcast, so if you've created a good podcast, offered good content to the people that you serve, taking them from point A to point Z, or at least somewhere on that path, then you have created automatically like 80% of the content of a book. And that was one of my biggest insights, right? Create a podcast and do it the right way. You've essentially created a bunch of a book. If you create a book the right way, you've essentially created a bunch of a podcast. And in that way, you can reach more people with your message, have a bigger platform all of a sudden, you know, and stand out as a thought leader very, very quickly.
Heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. Solid tips indeed. Funny enough, I think that was actually probably episode closer to last night where you basically talk about, hey, internet radio, baby, like becoming an internet radio host, man, and then you do all these wonderful things and you record the episodes in advance, and you basically got 80% of a book ready to go because you got the content out there.
And it's in your voice, right? That's the beauty of that. It's in your authentic voice.
That's right indeed, because folks want that authenticity, y'all. They don't want that pleather. That's right indeed. They want the genuine leather article. That's right indeed. Metaphorically for the vegans and the animal lovers out there. Oh, man. So probably about a good three more questions and let you make a run for it. And a fun question about your fabulous book, Influence with the Heart. The Influence with the Heart Method, how to position yourself as an expert, authority, or thought leader by writing your book so you could do more good for more people with your business. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
It would be pizza because pizza is my favorite food, right? Because it's all about me. No, it would be pizza because it's delicious and layered and nutritious and satisfying, and you just feel so darn good whether you're eating it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah, I knew you were my kind of people. That's right indeed. Definitely my favorite food too, right there, pizza. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. It's like, yep, you know we got a good first right here, and pizza's the answer. It's universal. It's a magical pie for a reason. It's the circle of life.
Nice. Yep.
Right indeed. And Hammerman's got a big event coming up in, well, actually, if I'm not mistaken, two of them indeed for 2024, if I'm not mistaken. Both of them virtual, if I'm not mistaken. So basically from the comfort of their own home or phone.
Have a summit coming up, which we're just putting together now, so haven't even quite figured out the title. But if you all get on my email list or keep an eye out for my stuff, you'll hear more about that. That's going to be the first week of April. Probably have about 30 speakers talking about books and podcasts and making a bigger difference with your message, all that good kind of stuff, similar to what I've been talking about today. And what we do have lined up with a title and everything is the third time we've done this event. Again, this is virtual as well. It's called the Podcast and Book Roadmap, how to create a global thought leadership masterpiece in 6 to 9 months. So we are going deep on bringing forth your book, bringing forth your podcast, potentially bringing forth both, if that makes sense, positioning yourself as a thought leader. And being really, really smart about doing it, avoiding the pitfalls and dangers of making bad publishing mistakes, and also understanding really how to just leverage your time, energy, and attention to make a bigger impact with your message. So that's coming up. When is that? It's around the middle of June. I can't think of the exact date. Podcastandbook.com. Once again, podcastandbook.com. So come check it out. If you can't make it live for any reason, no worries, because VIP ticket gives you the recordings, which are super valuable anyway, because there's a whole bunch of bonuses in and among the VIP ticket. So either way, just glad to have you in the mix, and thanks for listening and watching today.
Yes, I'm talking about indeed. So keep on a lookout. Get on Ben's list, y'all. That's right indeed. Keep up with that good information indeed, especially around June, especially for those folks probably graduating who have probably have no idea what the heck they want to do. It's like, hey, maybe they want to start a podcast. Hey, maybe they want to write a book. Who knows? Maybe they got some knowledge to share. Maybe some inspirational stuff happened in the process of their life. They need to immortalize it. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Ben's got you covered like a blanket indeed. Well, coming down to the question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you'll wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Stay off your phone as much as possible. Make good use of the phone, but use it as a tool don't use it as a dopamine inspiring drug delivery system.
Oh man, can't use the distraction slab forever. Oh.
No, I know. And Dom, it's such a great question because as we're right now and moving into the future, like one of the greatest leadership attributes is going to be the ability to be present and aware and to be able to make dynamic choices in the present moment and not be a slave, like you said, to the distraction slab, which I never heard before. I love that.
Yes, a day, just a day. Man, heck, that's actually a good point you brought up indeed. So there you go, folks. A leadership tip you probably didn't think you're going to get out of today's episode, y'all. That's right indeed. Being present is a leadership skill, y'all. That's right indeed. In the land of distractions, vying for your attention, you got to manage that attention by being present indeed. So my goodness, so for those who need to keep up with you and all the stuff you do, Ben, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Yeah, thank you. So check me out, of course, influencewithaheart.com. Once again, influencewithaheart.com. And I have a great gift that can be helpful for folks, right? Testimonials and book reviews are really good for our LinkedIn profile, of course, for a book, for your website, for your business. So if you check out influencewithaheart.com/learn, LEARN, you can get a great template for some testimonials. And the trick there is you follow the template, you write the testimonials, and then you send them to somebody and you say, "Hey, I'd love a testimonial for my book or my LinkedIn or whatever it is. I know you're super busy, so I wrote this testimonial for you on my behalf or, on your behalf for me, however you say that." Would you either bless it, edit it, or write your own? And 9 times out of 10, people will give it back to you with minor corrections.
There you have it, folks. That's right indeed. Influencewithheart.com, baby. That's right. They big art, big business. You love to freaking say it today. So I'm gonna put a link to all of Ben's stuff in the show notes. That way you can keep up with all the things that he is doing and cop some copies of his magical books as well. Indeed, because it's gorgeous stuff, y'all. That's right indeed. It's gorgeous stuff. That's right indeed. It's like having your good old Wheaties for breakfast. That's right indeed. It's like steroids into your business, but without the side effects and the rage. That's right. Let me stop.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Well, before a bunch of aspiring bodybuilders try to get all the steroids, metaphorically speaking, and put on bunny ears, any parting words before we close up shop, Ben?
First of all, Dom, just a pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking great questions. I got to think a little extra, and I always appreciate that very much. And as far as listeners and viewers, just get your book done, right? Get that next book done. Get your message out there. Tell your story. Be the leader who you are, even if you don't think you're a leader yet, right? You already are a leader. You're already an expert. Bring that to the world because the world needs you more than ever.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.